It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday News. Thank you for listening to KMXT on 100.1 FM. It's your public radio station.
The number of people getting infected with the coronavirus in the United States may have begun falling again. And Piers Rompstein reports on the latest update from the head of the CDC.
CDC Director Rochelle Walensky says the number of new infections being reported every day in the United States looks like it started trending down again. That's after the drop appeared to stall, setting off alarms that a new surge may be starting. But the latest seven-day average is now down to about 56,000 confirmed cases. About 1,600 deaths are being reported every day, but deaths dropped below 1,000 in a single day for the first time in a long time earlier this week. Nevertheless, Walensky is urging people to remain vigilant to prevent another surge before more people can get vaccinated. Rob Stein, NPR News.
The Senate's confirmed Judge Merrick Garland is the next Attorney General. Here's NPR's Windsor Johnston.
As Attorney General, Merrick Garland is expected to face a number of challenges early on. He may have to decide whether to investigate and potentially prosecute former President Donald Trump for his role in the deadly attack on the U.S. Capitol building. He's also taking the reins amid a Justice Department investigation of President Biden's son, Hunter. During his confirmation hearings, Garland pledged that he would fight any effort to make prosecutions or investigations partisan or political.
It's NPR News.
Ang NPR Balita ay hatid sa inyo ng Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. Para sa kaukulang impormasyon tungkol sa aming mga serbisyo, tumawag lamang sa 481-2400.
Kodiak residents have enjoyed a vibrant local food scene, but there are still holes to be filled. The Dinghy Food Truck has found a massive grilled cheese size hole.
Taco 49, just by chance, was selling their food truck, two of them. And Cooper and I just kind of looked at each other and said, why not? Let's do this.
David Haas, who you just heard, and Cooper Curtis of Highmark Marine are co-owners of the Dinghy. Both are longtime fans of grilled cheese. They tested their menu on friends and co-workers at Highmark Marine and knew they'd have to serve some massive sandwiches to appease those appetites.
The guys at Highmark kept eating four or five of these sandwiches, so I kept telling our cook to make them bigger. You put more cheese and more meat to the point where the grilled cheese wouldn't hold its shape. So that's when we decided to add another layer of bread to keep its structure. And we finally got the Highmark Marine guys to be satisfied with one sandwich. We knew we had the right recipe when one of the guys couldn't finish it.
Haas says that the pandemic had essentially no effect on the opening of the Dinghy. According to him, the unique food option brought out nearly more customers than they could handle.
It was an immediate success from the day one, and I think just our mission statement, which is very simple, to make a complete filling meal that's fast and affordable. Those three things, I think, are just winning recipes in Kodiak and appeal to the working class.
The Dinghy has a broad range of grilled cheese sandwiches, ranging from the classic style with ham, a sandwich with pear and gouda, and a unique grilled PB&J with cheddar, favorite of Cooper Curtis. Haas says that while the sandwiches taste good, the big draw is the enormous proportions at an affordable price.
I know that this island is mostly based on the fishing community and just the kind of like blue-collar, hardworking people. So I knew the big proportions were going to be hit right away. I just didn't realize how big of a hit it was going to be.
Those with big appetites can order online and review an up-to-date menu at dinghyfoodtruck.org, and Dinghy is spelled with an H in there. Or find them in person at 101 Center Street in Kodiak, Monday through Thursday, 11 to 7, and Friday and Saturday, 11 to 8. Governor Mike Dunleavy announced yesterday that all Alaskans age 16 and older can sign up for a COVID-19 vaccine. Alaska is the first state to allow all adults to receive vaccines. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman has this report.
Governor Dunleavy says he hopes Alaska reaches herd immunity by late spring or early summer.
Alaska has led in many, many categories in dealing with this virus since the get-go. This is an opportunity for Alaska to lead again.
One of the reasons he says he supported opening up vaccine appointments to all Alaskans 16 and older is that the number of people signing up for shots has started to level off in the state. But that wasn't the only reason.
I think it's a combination of the fact that we're going to get more vaccines, that we have, a number of effective systems in place, Indian Health Service, Alaska Native Health Services, our municipality partners, our business partners, the state system itself. I think it all works pretty well together.
Dunleavy described his recent experience of becoming sick with COVID-19 as an inconvenience. He urged those considering whether to be vaccinated to consider the effect on their families if they become ill. While he repeatedly said he respects those who don't want to be vaccinated, he says he will get the vaccine.
I'm doing that because I don't want to be a burden on the hospital system. I don't want to be a burden on my family. I don't want to be taken out of operation for a while.
He says that if Alaska reaches herd immunity, it will help Alaskans' lives and the economy.
We're hoping that we can get the cruise ships back here, the tourism industry back here. We're hoping that we can get Alaskans out working together and building Alaska this summer, mixing and mingling.
Alaska Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink talked about how to protect children. She said adults need to do their part by getting their shots.
Kids are part of our herd, and kids can't be vaccinated as of right now. And as a result, we need a lot more adults to make the decision to be adults and to do what they can to be able to vaccinate and to protect our kids in general.
She also said people being vaccinated is the fastest way to open up the economy and communities.
This is our shot to end this pandemic.
Alaska has provided the most COVID-19 shots per resident of any state, and it has the highest share of its population that's fully vaccinated, almost 1 in 5. But there is a long way to go before Alaska reaches the roughly 75% to 85% of the population with immunity that scientists estimate will prevent the spread of the disease. Dunleavy says he hopes people will look back at Alaskans' response to the pandemic as positive. He imagined a possible future narrative.
Alaska, a lonely outpost way in the northwest part of North America, in which it's pretty easy for Washington, D.C. and other places to forget. We roll up our sleeves, we work together, we put aside politics, we put aside a whole host of things that we oftentimes squabble about.
But he added that while the expanded eligibility could give the state a boost toward that goal, the response is not over. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Bands, choirs, open mic nights, karaoke with your friends. None of this has been possible this year. But every Saturday afternoon since January, traffic backs up outside the Holy Trinity Church in downtown Juneau as people line up for Juneau's new Choir from Cars. KTOO's Rajan McChesney decided to try it out.
Is there life on Mars?
I don't know what I was expecting when I showed up to Bruce Simonson's Choir from Cars, but hearing dozens of singers launch into a choral rendition of a David Bowie song was not it. Bobby Mitchell and her friend Susan Loomis, though, are into it.
It's so much fun, and it's really bizarre.
The two pulled up and parked right in front of the doors of the church. They've both been coming for a few weeks, and when I ask Mitchell why, she's incredulous.
Because it's the choir. I miss it.
We desperately love singing. We miss being able to sing in the choir. There's nothing like the sound of voices singing together.
So on Saturday afternoons, neighbors turn on their radios, people in parked cars grab wireless mics, and everyone settles in for this apart but together choir. The guy who's responsible for piecing all of this together is Bruce Simonson. He's the classic archetype of a choir director. Wild Beethoven hair that he's constantly tucking behind his ears. He sings all the parts.
All the ones are going to Mars. Is there life on Mars? And that's what the baritone or the bass part does as well. Everyone know where I'm at?
He's a longtime choir director in Juneau. He says this thing wasn't his idea. He saw some people doing it on the East Coast and thought it could be replicated in Juneau. And he made up the name, but people are calling it all sorts of things, like car choir or karaoke. He started gathering equipment in October and launched the whole thing in January. And there is a lot of stuff that goes into organizing it. There's a volunteer inside of the church in a tangle of cables. At a mixing board, he's constantly adjusting inputs and levels and fiddling with a recorder. But from the outside, the experience is pretty simple. Everyone gets a quick crash course in the tech. Here's Tom Melville with mine.
So that's our headphones on 107.1.
And this is how I hear everyone else singing.
That's how you hear everybody sing. And do you need one of our...
They do.
Okay, you get number 9.
Simonson stands on the sidewalk with a music stand in front of him, and he leads the group.
Because I'm out here, and I'm actually singing at the top of my lungs.
It's pretty odd. You really can't hear people singing from their cars, so he's just kind of alone out there. A few weeks ago, though, he had company.
The Ravens, they were, like, singing along with me. They just were going for it, and I said, "Do you hear the Ravens?" And no, they didn't, because the microphones we use are very directional, so you can't really hear what's going on outside.
There's a woman who lives close enough that she can just stop in and grab gear and sing from her living room. Another one sings from the sidewalk across the street. And I finally settled back into my car and turned on the radio. It was weird to be alone, but part of a group. It was overwhelming. Simonson says this is normal.
The first time you do it and you haven't been singing for like a year in a group, it's really emotional. It's what's interesting is that like the first 20 minutes and you get kind of verklempt, if you want to use that word. But then people kind of like forget about how weird it is, what we're really doing here. And they kind of get used to singing in the microphone because you have to do that. And if you're not used to it, that's a different thing.
But then it started to feel like a regular choir rehearsal. People are cracking jokes and laughing at each other and correcting each other's pitches. And for an hour and a half in the sun, it started to feel normal. The best part is that you can turn your radio on and everyone's voice is broadcast in and you're listening to yourself in concert. For now, Simonson says they're meeting every Saturday at 1 p.m. until we can all start meeting in person again. In Juneau, I'm Rasha McChesney.
There's a new species on Alaska's most wanted list. Invasive zebra mussels have made their way up north from the lower 48, hitching rides on aquarium moss balls to pet stores. As KDLL's Sabine Pooks reports for Alaska's Energy Desk, biologists in Alaska and more than 30 other states are concerned.
For a creature the size of a fingernail, zebra mussels pack a lot of punch. Maura Schumacher is the invasive species specialist for the Kenai Watershed Forum. She says zebra mussels, named for their striped shells, can thrive in both rivers and lakes.
They are filter feeders, so basically they pull in water through their systems and they pull out nutrients. And the waste that they are producing is highly acidic and drops the oxygen levels in water systems.
That creates an inhospitable environment for other plants and animals living there. Zebra mussels are native to Eastern Europe and likely came over to the U.S. on ships in the 1980s. They infested all 5 Great Lakes and traveled to connected freshwater systems through canals. It's still a mystery how they glommed onto moss balls, small clumps of green algae that help filter water in household aquariums. But that's allowed them to spread across the country.
Because these, you know, moss balls are being sold by these major pet suppliers, they're getting shipped to, you know, places like Alaska, which normally it's not impossible, but it's very difficult for a zebra mussel to travel from the Great Lakes region to Alaska.
The mussels could infiltrate local ecosystems if people dump their aquariums into lakes and rivers. They can wreak havoc on personal property, too.
Some of the other impacts that they have is that they reproduce so quickly, they can clog storm drains, they cause incredible damage to boats and other recreational equipment. They just clog up any space available.
State and federal agencies are coordinating to warn people who may have purchased moss balls. Major pet stores like Petco have also put out advisories asking customers to toss their moss balls.
If you have recently purchased these moss balls, destroy them immediately.
Schumacher says acting on the defense is important. Alaska has previously been able to intercept boats carrying zebra mussels.
And when you're on the offensive, like they are in the Midwest, in the Great Lakes region, it's costing those states and economies millions and millions of dollars on a yearly basis.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is asking people to destroy their moss balls. They've released official guidelines for doing so. Moss balls can either be freezed, boiled, or bleached, and then tossed in the trash in a sealed plastic bag. Aquariums that contained moss balls should be drained and cleaned. The agency is also asking people to report zebra mussels they find. We'll have links to those guidelines in the online version of this story at kdll.org. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Sabine Pooks.
Today's KMXT Local News is brought to you in part by Discover Kodiak, a one-stop source for visitor information on Kodiak and other destinations around the state. On the web at kodiak.org and at the Visitor Center in the Ferry Terminal Building at 100 Marine Way, 486-4782.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. The Fish Board bounces its meeting cycle to next year. More after this.
Have fish in the freezer? Have it on the table in minutes with Azmi's new Cook It Frozen and hundreds of other recipes at wildalaskaseafood.com.
The State Board of Fisheries voted unanimously on Monday to not double up its meeting schedule to include two Alaska regions and instead advanced them by 1 year. The board regulates commercial, sport, subsistence, and personal use fisheries in state waters, meaning out to 3 miles. It would normally be wrapping up a roster this month that included 275 proposals for Southeast Alaska, Prince William Sound, and statewide shellfish. But the ongoing COVID pandemic curtailed those plans. Board's Director Glenn Haight explains the new lineup.
Starting in October 2021, it will do its work session, but then following that, it will do a Prince William Sound meeting in November, December, and then a Southeast Finfish Shellfish meeting in January, and then in March, it would do its statewide all-shellfish meeting.
Then in October of 2022, the Fish Board's work session will be followed by fishery issues for Bristol Bay and Chignik, the Bering Sea, Arctic Yukon Kuskokwim, and Alaska Peninsula regions. The doubling up faced pushback from the public and regional advisory committees. Fish Board member Abe Williams said it was important to abide by that feedback.
I think it was an admirable thing that the board was trying to do and get back on track in regard to the pandemic that we're dealing with, and recognizing the headwinds and navigating through the comments. I think it's important that we listen to the constituents.
The double up also would have cost an additional $500,000 in a supplemental budget, said ADF&G Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang. Haight advised that the call for proposals for Bristol Bay, Chignik, and regions further west that were due on May 10th of this year also has been extended.
For anyone who is out there fastidiously creating proposals for those meetings to turn them in this May, no need to hurry. You'll have almost a full another year.
Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger. For Wednesday, it is the 10th day of March, the year 2021. Sun rose today at 7:41. It won't set again until 7:01, giving us 11 hours and 25 minutes of glorious daylight, a gain of 5 minutes exactly. And our record high was 49 degrees in 1931. That was set. And our record low was 1, set in 1966. Currently 35 degrees, mostly cloudy skies, they're saying, becoming mostly sunny, high near 37. Clear skies tonight with a low around 21, west wind to 25 miles per hour, gusting as high as 40 tonight. For tomorrow, sunny skies, high near 27, west wind to 30 miles per hour, gusting as high as 55 tomorrow. And for Thursday night, partly cloudy skies, a low around 20, west wind to 25 to 30 miles per hour, gusting as high as 55 miles per hour on Thursday night as well. Looking at our local tides, we just had a high tide here on the east side at 11:52 a.m. That was an 8.8-foot tide. Our next low tide will be at 6:41 p.m. and be minus 0.5 feet. Our high tide after midnight will be at 1:11 a.m., 7.5 feet. And our low tide for tomorrow morning here on the east side will be at 6:38 a.m. and be 2.1 feet. Over on the west side, and these are Uganic Pass tides, you have a high tide coming up at 12:30, just a few minutes from now, 14.3-foot tide. Your next low tide will be at 7:10 p.m. and be minus 0.7 feet. Your high tide for in the middle of the night will be at 1:28 a.m. and be 14.4 feet. And your low tide for tomorrow morning on the west side will be at 7:19 a.m. and be 2.1 feet. Mariners, here is your synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. A 1,006 millibar low, 70 nautical miles south of Kodiak City, will move over Naked Island and go to 996 millibars Thursday morning, then move to 50 nautical miles south of Middleton Island and go to 1,005 millibars by Friday morning. Its front will move across the Gulf through Wednesday night. The resulting weather, not too good. Right now, east side offshore Marmot Island to Sitkanat, gale warning through Thursday, west wind to 35 knots and seas to 12 feet. For tonight, west wind to 35 knots, seas to 12 feet with freezing spray. And for tomorrow, on our east side, northwest wind to 40 knots, seas to 14 feet with freezing spray. Over in the Shelikof, gale warning through Thursday, heavy freezing spray warning tonight and Thursday. For today, northwest wind to 35 knots and seas to 7 feet in the Shelikof. For tonight, west wind to 35 knots, seas to 7 feet, heavy freezing spray out of western bays and passes. And for Thursday, west wind to 35 knots, seas to 7 feet, heavy freezing spray out of western bays and passes in the morning on Thursday. For inside waters, Chiniak and Marmot Bay, Chiniak Bay, small craft advisory through Thursday, northwest 25 right now, seas to 4 feet. West 25 tonight, seas to 4 feet with freezing spray in Chiniak Bay. For tomorrow, northwest 30, seas to 5 feet with freezing spray. Up in Marmot Bay, we have a gale warning for Thursday. West 30 right now, seas to 6 feet. For tonight, west 30, seas to 7 feet in Marmot Bay with freezing spray. And for tomorrow, west winds to 35 knots and seas to 6 feet and freezing spray in Marmot Bay. Well, today is the last day to file for the 3 seats up for election for the Kodiak Electric Association's Board of Directors. The candidate petition ballots are still candidate petition packets are still available by contacting KEA office. To be an eligible candidate, you must be a member of KEA. Completed candidate petition packets must be received by 5 p.m. today at the KEA office at 1614 Mill Bay Road. The phone number to call for more information is 486-7709. There will be a Board of Education and Kodiak Island Borough Assembly joint work session during the Borough Assembly work session on Thursday. The Assembly work session will begin at 6:30 p.m. and be held at the Bayside Volunteer Fire Department. The Borough's Assembly work session agenda packet and web streaming information can be accessed through a link at the Borough's website, and the packet for the joint work session can be viewed on Board Docs. For more information, contact Bianca Clark, Secretary to the Board of Education, at 486-7566. The Kodiak Public Library is open for a two-hour visit from Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m., 12:30 p.m., 3 p.m., and 5 p.m., and from Friday and Saturday, 10 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 3 p.m. Appointments are not required. You still need to wear a mask and follow social distancing guidelines. And Wednesday, March 10th, 6:30 p.m., is the next library trivia game. So that's tonight at 6:30. The Zoom link is on the library's website and on their Facebook page. If you have any questions or need help, call Lori at 486-8688. All are welcome to the trivia game. 6:30 tonight. The next poetry reading is coming up on Wednesday, March 17th, next Wednesday at 6 p.m. If you want to be a part of that, contact Ani at 486-8683 to share a poem or to view the readings. The Kodiak City Council will be holding a regular meeting on Thursday in the Kodiak Public Library's multipurpose room. The meeting is open to the public and will be broadcast here on KMXT at 100.1 FM. Agendas and meeting packets are available online at the City of Kodiak website. For more information or for printed materials, call the City Clerk's Office at 486-8636. The Borough Assembly is having their work session, as we just heard. That's happening Thursday, 6:30 p.m., Bayside Fire Hall. Online via Zoom or Kodiak College Campus Center, they're having powerful public speaking workshops. Whatever your bully pulpit or soapbox may be, this dynamic workshop helps you find and hone your voice to a maximum effectiveness. Using time-proven strategies, you will be able to deliver powerful and persuasive messages to a variety of audiences. This course is appropriate for students 18 and up. The class will be conducted either in person or on Zoom. Choose the best option when you register. There is a fee for this class, and it's going to happen March 17th, 24th, and 31st. For more information, contact Heather at 486-1212. That's 486-1212. Attention all mariners, bring your sea stories to Calm Fish, Alaska. Our stories pull our community together, and while we can't wait to get you back to that Calm Fish stage, this year we hope to see you from the other side of the video screen. In the spirit of Alaska fishing community resiliency, the virtual trade show and forum are fully interactive and immersive. The Kodiak Chamber of Commerce will feature pre-recorded stories during their virtual receptions at 5 p.m. on the 30th and the 31st. Please help them capture and share a few of the many stories that make up the fabric of our rich maritime history by recording a 3 to 5 minute fish tale either onto your smartphone or your computer. Email the stories to Teresa Peterson at teresa@akmarine.org or Phil Lampron at phil.lampron@kodiakhealthcare.org by March 26th.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.